We had two speakers in this session who have talked about imaging, so this will be the third presentation, but my sole focus today is going to be on imaging and specifically on a new form of imaging that we are using to quantify crop growth. I do want to point out that the idea behind this is not mine. There is a Dutch company that has a commercial system that you can get for only $45,000. And a one-year wait time, I think, is what it took us. So we have developed a really simple alternative to this method. Mangalam is a former student at the University of Georgia who did all of this work. Mark Heidecker is a colleague in engineering who did advise us on a lot of the things we did do. So why do we care about canopy imaging to begin with? Well, so we would like to have a non-destructive way to monitor the growth of a crop over time. It needs to be automated. And I think for the industry, this could be potentially something that is really value because you can use it for benchmarking. So let's say you start a crop of whatever leafy green, and you know after X number of days, this crop should be a certain size. And you can use this kind of imaging technique to see if you're actually on track. And if you're not, you need to go figure out what the problem is, but at least it can tell you whether or not your crop is growing the way it normally would. And in the future, we hope that we can use the same technique to actually detect and hopefully identify a different number of stressors. And hopefully, Reeves, the graduate student who will be working on some of this, we can detect both biotic and abiotic stresses with this. So the principle behind this technique is really simple. Chlorophyll fluorescence. So anytime you see a plant, that plant is actually glowing. You can't see that because the amount of light that is given off by a plant is pretty small, so it gets lost in the amount of background light that you have. But with a camera and the right filter, it's actually pretty simple to take a picture of that fluorescence coming from those plants. And if you can do that, you can quantify canopy size. Of course, as we've already seen, you can also simply take a color picture and use that for imaging. But color imaging can have some real challenges at times to try to distinguish the leaves from the background. If you're in a greenhouse setting and you're growing in pots, your pots may be green. There can be all kinds of practical difficulties that we can bypass by using the fluorescence imaging. And so the setup for this is really simple. We have a simple grow tent that we got from Amazon. We have LED lights, for some applications just blue LED lights mounted in the top of that grow tent, and then a camera that is mounted in the top of the stand as well. And that camera it's a monochrome camera, so basically black and white, but it has a filter built into the lens that allows only light with wavelengths from 650 to 740 nanometer to pass through that filter. So that is the only light that this camera can actually detect. And then we put the plants in the bottom of this grow tent. We turn on the blue LEDs. So this blue light is around 450 nanometers. The camera cannot see any of that blue light. But now the plants fluoresce. And the camera can detect that light that is coming from the crop and takes a picture of the fluorescence coming from these plants. So again, a really simple principle. In practice, it doesn't look very fancy either. This is a picture of our grow tent. We have, this particular iteration, a LumaGrow light mounted, LED light mounted in the top of this chamber. That light can provide red, blue, or white light, and it turns out, as we'll see, that is actually a nice benefit for this particular application. And then the black tube that you hopefully can see sticking down is the lens of the camera. The camera itself is tiny. It's about an inch by an inch by an inch. And so when you take an image then with that camera, and this is a picture of a lettuce seedling, so if you are sitting near the front or look very closely from the back, you can see two cotyledons in this image. And if you image that plant over time, then you get something like this. So you can see the plant grow, and it becomes pretty simple to figure out how big that plant is. So to do that, we are using ImageJ for processing the images, and we use a function in ImageJ that is called intensity thresholding, where anything that is has a pixel intensity below a certain threshold is considered background, and everything above that threshold is the plant. And I do need to point out here that so each pixel in this image has a value ranging from 0, which indicates that that pixel is completely black, to 255, which indicates that that pixel is completely white, and anything in between is some kind of gray. So the intensity imaging is really easy, because when you make an intensity histogram of all of the images that you have in this image, you get this very sharp peak at a very low intensity value for the pixels, and that is all the dark background. And then you see that really broad peak at higher intensity values, and that is the plant. So to separate the plant from the background, you need to find where between these two peaks you set that threshold. That is easier to do if you hit the little log button at the bottom, and my mouse won't show up here, but if you convert these values to a log scale, then it looks something like this, and you just pick the lowest value in that valley between the two peaks, that's your threshold, and when you apply that, your image looks like this. So it's a really simple technique, and it works really well. So I did feel the need to prove that it works. So Mangalam got some leaves from a sweet potato plant, and she measured how large they were using this technique and ran them through a leaf area meter. And then she got this graph. She got an R-squared value here of 0.998 with a slope of the line of 1.01. So we felt that was pretty good, and quite frankly, the errors that we have here are probably inaccurate in the leaf area meter, because I think the imaging system is more accurate than the leaf area meter ever will be. So I'm, 8 minutes into my talk, and it already works perfectly. What am I going to do next? So, no, not ready for questions yet. There are always problems. Algae. When we grow plants in the greenhouse, as Claudia can attest to, and just did, algae. So they really fluoresce. So here we have, again, a fluorescence image of a lettuce plant, and you can see a lot of fluorescence coming from the top of that substrate, and that is algae that is fluorescing very brightly. So then the question becomes, how do you separate algae, which has chlorophyll, from plants that has chlorophyll? And that's what we're trying to measure. That fluorescence. So when you look at the thresholding method, you get both all of the leaf and you get all of the algae, so that doesn't work very well. That's not surprising. When you look at the intensity histograms for algae versus leaves, there is just a lot of overlap between algae and leaves, and not surprisingly, because it's all chlorophyll. So simple thresholding doesn't work. And so what Mark Heidecker suggested we try is to actually take a second image, and that second image was taken with white light instead of blue light. And so when we turned the white LEDs on, there was actually a lot of light in those LEDs that can be detected by the camera. So now what the camera sees is a combination of fluorescence coming from all of the chlorophyll, as well as red and far red light that is being reflected. So two very different kinds of light. So when we do that, here on the left-hand side, we have the fluorescence image. On the right-hand, we have the image taken under white light, still with that filter in the camera. But you can see that under white light, the algae don't show up nearly as well. And so once you have these two images, you can start doing something called image arithmetic. So basically, for each pixel in these images, you can do very simple mathematical operations. And specifically, what we ended up doing is that for each pixel, we take the intensity value measured in the fluorescence image, we subtract the intensity measured in the white image, and then we divide that by the intensity from the white image. And when you do that, you create a new picture. And so you get the image on the right. And that is really cool, because now you can see the algae, and the plant has gotten really dark. So that allows us to now use the thresholding method to actually detect algae. So we have this processed image right now, and using simple thresholding, we can detect all of the algae. We can, using ImageJ, say, for canopy size, we want to ignore all of these pixels. We know that that isn't leaf. So that is the algae that we found. And then when we apply that to this image, we can find the area of interest that we actually want. And we can actually get this picture from the combination of the two images that we take. And that looks, in my opinion, really, really well. So how well does that really work to remove the algae? This is a tray of lettuce seedlings, and when you see that image, it's a mess. You can barely make out the leaves from the background, but when you apply this technique to this image, you get the image on the right. It's not perfect, but I think it's pretty good, and we've done this with a number of different crops. Now, you may think it's a lot of work to do all this image processing this way, but Mangalam happens to be a computer scientist. And so in ImageJ, she developed a macro where all you need to do is say, I want this image, and ImageJ does everything else for you and gives you the image on the right. So that makes it really simple. And now in that image, all we need to do is count the number of pixels that are not black or at least really dark. So I mentioned earlier that there is a commercial system available, $45,000 roughly. This system that we developed is about $1,600, and that is partly because we were working with an engineer. And one thing that I have learned from working with engineers is that they are not always very cost-effective. The camera we are using is way overkill for what we need to do. We don't need a Lumigrow light. It happens to work really well for these applications, but you can build a simple light. But even with this initial system that we built, it was under $2,000, which I think is pretty good, especially compared to $45,000. But we have since decided we can very easily, using strip LED lighting, we can build a light that can do what we need to for less than $50. We think we identified a camera that is $13 that would work. And so our goal is to get the price down to under $200. And this is just an estimate of where we think we can be. So we hope that we can build systems like that for $175, and now all of a sudden you can deploy a whole bunch of these. So what do we want to do with these? Well, monitor growth both in growth chambers as well as in greenhouses. So the practical way to do that would be you take these images at night when you don't have to worry about other light sources that would interfere with the imaging. You can use it really well to count plants, and I want to show an example of that. It's not an official example. I actually made this up. It's not really a fluorescence image. But if you have a tray of seedlings, and this particular tray happens to have a few empty spots in it, you can take a fluorescence image, and you can very easily detect spots in that seedling tray where you don't have a seedling. Very simple approach. You can also determine the uniformity, for example, of the seedlings you do have. So that works very well. As I already mentioned, we hope we can use this to detect a number of different stresses, and hopefully Reef will talk about that next year at this meeting. And what I think is a really interesting application is fruit ripening. So we have five different tomatoes here, and when you take a fluorescence image of these tomatoes, they look like this. It's a really sensitive method to detect very small amounts of chlorophyll, as you can see from the image in the bottom left. So I think that is a really nice application as well. And with that, I would like to thank the USDA for funding this work, and if William will let me, I'll do my best to answer some questions. Cherry.
Yes. What's the minimum light intensity required?
So the question is, what is the minimum light intensity to be able to take a fluorescence image? Our initial setup had really cheap, reasonably powerful LEDs. You don't need a very high intensity. I think 20 micromoles would be enough, because if you have the right camera, you can adjust the exposure time. So with a longer exposure time, you don't need a strong signal to be able to get an image. Yeah. William?
So the macro plugin for ImageJ, is that available for other
people? So William asked if the macro for ImageJ is available. Yes, just send me an email and If you're really lucky, I'll be able to find it. But I think I can. Yes, I'll gladly share that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.